if I could sing, I would sing Happy Birthday. So I'm just going to say it. Happy Birthday, John Barber, number 91. And thank God for each and every one of those.
Happy birthday, a great big to-do. Celebrate, yeah, celebrate you. So make a wish on your special day. You're looking great,
so great.
Come celebrate.
Happy
birthday from us to you.
From the place.
Yes, from the place where dreams do come true. So here's a wish, 1, 2, 3, 4, part harmony. Happy birthday, your special day.
To you,
yes, to you.
Hooray!
That is
hooray.
Very, very sweet of you. And I was lucky enough to have over 200 people wish me happy birthday and almost 200 emails and messenger stuff. And all, and half of the questions, it was simple. They said, how on earth do you get to be 91? And I had a very simple two-word answer, and guess what it was? Go ahead.
You're too witty for me. I couldn't guess. Go ahead.
Don't die.
Oh, cute.
That's all there is.
See? That's okay, the barber wit. How do you get to be 91? God, just summed it all up, Johnny, perfectly.
Yeah. Well, you know, I must tell you very honestly, Jeff, that in the 8+ years that I've been doing this show, this is the show that I actually look forward the most to doing. I mean, because of you, I have a fantastic book. I have a couple of fantastic books. I have the two greatest films ever about Jim Garrison and John Kennedy. Brought to the world's attention because of you. But that's not what it is. I don't want to talk about my books. I don't want to talk about my films. I never, ever give advice. I never, ever, ever complain. But what I do forever is give thanks to somebody who does something wonderful. And you did something wonderful for my amazing wife, Sarita. And I'm going to talk about that first because I have to, and the world should know about it. Now, I don't know if you have Facebook or not, but if you have Facebook or not, it's like sometimes it's so silly. I mean, somebody will stub their toe or they'll break their nose and they take a picture of it and they post it. And they go to the hospital and they start a GoFundMe account. I delete these humans immediately. And Sarita, 2 years ago, got something misdiagnosed by two doctors that could have killed her. It's called edema. Do you know what that is?
Sure. Yeah, it's swelling in the ankles and the feet, lower legs usually. It's a swelling. It's water.
Yeah, well, it's related to the heart and it's related to the kidneys and it could kill you.
Mm-hmm. You
so
sure?
Sarita, sure. When Sarita was younger, she could keep up with Fred Astaire. As Ginger Rogers says, I dance as well as Fred Astaire, only backwards. And Sarita had the talents to do that. And she had a size 5.5 to 6 foot. And she used to model shoes when she wasn't dancing at a luxury store called Paris when she was in Paris, when she was in San Francisco. And I met her. She looked like Jennifer Jones, one of the most gorgeous and talented women I ever saw. But when it comes to character, there is no one on the planet that I know of that comes close to the character of Sarita and she never utters anything about it. She just displays it, which most people, and I'm going to tell you two very interesting stories about Sarita. Well, 2 years ago, she got, she had these massive swellings in her legs. They looked like elephant legs.
Yeah.
And her shoe size went up to a 10 and 11.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
And she had to sit on a sofa. Mm-hmm. And she could barely walk and move. And it was for like 2 years like that. And soon the left leg, the left ankle started to break out in blood blisters and water blisters. And she would nurse them herself. She showed them to her foot doctor. And her foot doctor said, well, it's nothing. She showed them to her regular physician. And he said, well, that's nothing. And then it was March the 1st, 5 days before her birthday, which was March the 5th. And I said, listen, honey, you're not going to go to a doctor anymore. I'm going to drag you down to an emergency room, and you're going to have somebody look at it. So she bandaged herself up. We went down there. She checked in. Within 3 minutes, the nurse came running out and said, Mr. Barber, get this lady to a Spring Mountain Hospital. This could kill her. So I put her in the car. I took her to Spring Mountain. They took one look at her, and they put her in a bed upstairs immediately. And for 5 days, they filled her body with nothing but antibiotics and drained urine and water from her by the gallon every single day. Mm-hmm. Now, after the 10 days of doing this, and I went there every morning and every night, and I just couldn't believe it. She never once complained. And at one point she said to me, honey, I've had a wonderful life. I could just go home and lie in bed and do this. I said, no, you're not. You're going to get cured. They're telling me that the stuff that they're pumping into you is curing you. And certainly after 10 days, she was cured of the edema, but her legs were still swollen. She still couldn't walk.
Did they put compression socks on her, John?
No, not at all. Because they had to see her legs, and they had to
Understood. I get
so,
it.
And the staff was just fantastic because they'd never treated anybody who looked so good. I mean, you couldn't tell how old that woman was. I mean, she's got Indian blood in her, so she has no hair. And even though her legs were swollen, there were no varicose veins or pimples or hair or anything like that. I mean, you look at her skin, you'd think she was 25, for God's sake. And in any event, the edema was cured. And so I said to the doctor, well, now can I bring her home? And so the doctor, amazing woman, said, well, let's ask your wife a question because there has to be some physical therapy involved here. Mrs. Barber, if your husband is out and you're home alone and your home catches fire, could you get out? Is that a great question? And she says, honestly, no, I could not. And so they said, well, we're going to have to give you some physical therapy. So they start giving her physical therapy, and they are finally at the stage where they may release her. Mm-hmm. But they're not so sure. So they put her in another place called Sandstone, where there's another great doctor, and they do nothing but physical therapy. So after another 10 to 15 days there, she keeps saying to me, honey, can I come home? So I ask the nurse, I ask a physical therapist, if I look after her and I become her physical therapist, can she come home? And so they said yes. So they put her in a wheelchair, brought her down to the car, and I brought her home. So I've been her nursemaid, helping her get into bed and get out of bed. And when I mentioned this to you, you sent me this wonderful stuff that you send me, that's Amicillin C or something like that. What's it called?
Allicin C, which is the best all-natural, broad-spectrum antiviral antibiotic, I think, in the world, without question. And a tube of Alloderm, which is the Allison.
It was two tubes. Now, I'll tell you why I mentioned that. Twice a week, somebody would come to the house to change your bandages.
Mm-hmm.
And 2.5 weeks ago, a lady who usually came, her name was Joanna. She was just absolutely wonderful. She put the gel on that the hospital had given her.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarita's feet were shrinking and shrinking, and her legs were taking shape. So I said, well, a dear, dear friend of mine sent me this stuff. She grabbed it, and she said, oh, my God, that's from England. That's the best. So she put aside her medicine, her gel, she put it on Sarita for 2 weeks. Sarita's legs look like they did when she was 26 and tap dancing, and her shoe size is back to size 5.5 with an arch for those shapely feet that you would not believe. So now I'm going to tell you this brief story about this woman's amazing talent, and without whom I would have never had real people. On September 5th, 1981.
Johnny, hold on 1 second. Before you leave this story of the nurse who came in and knew about the Alloderm lotion, the Allison C. Alloderm lotion, that was a master, that was divine intervention that woman knew about it.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something. I said that to that lady because she was so impressed, because in my house she could see that, oh my God, this guy used to be a superstar on television, and she was talking about God and stuff like that. And I said, well, listen, I'm not courageous enough to be an atheist, but I am agnostic, but I do believe in divine intervention. If you read my book, you'll see I mention it honestly at least a dozen times. And she said, can I have your book? Can I have your book? And then she said, would you please take a picture for me? Because my husband is your biggest fan.
Oh,
I said, you're kidding. I said, how did he become a fan? She said, we're both from the Philippines, and he watched every video you ever did until we came to this country a year ago. I mean, there you go, divine intervention with the gel that you sent, and the divine intervention that the hospital and the God sent to Sarita. Anyway, this story about her amazing talent. It was September 5th, 1981. Why do I remember that day? Because that's the day I went to New Orleans. Well, I had the number one show in the world, Real People. And that's when I was going to, when I put Jim Garrison on camera for 3.5 hours. And while I was down there, I thought, you know what? I love street performers, because when I was in England and I was in the Castle Theater in the 1960s, they had these performers called buskers. That's what they called them outside of the theaters. They were good guitar players or accordion players or tap dancers, and they called themselves buskers. I don't know what they call them in this country. But New Orleans streets are filled with them. It's part of the entertainment of the town that is the jazz capital of the world. So one of the guys that we're going to do is a guy who's about 5 feet tall, and he could be a smaller version of Sammy Davis Jr., who was on a hunger strike. I mean, he was absolute skin bones. Now, a crowd grew because they recognized me from Real People, and they could see that there were cameras there. And so we asked if we could videotape him, and he said absolutely, that he was honored. And so the people started cheering and applauding, and he started tap dancing, and my God, he just floated. He was like a black Fred Astaire. Sarita was dressed in a chiffon dress. Oh, my God, was she gorgeous. And she had these high-heeled shoes on. So when it was over and the people, there might have been 40 or 50 people around, I said, Sarita, could you do what he does? Jeff, do you remember a movie called Deliverance with Ned Beatty and Burt Reynolds?
Sure.
Do you remember that great guitar duo? It was called Dueling Banjos.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, it was like 7 minutes of the greatest guitar music. One guy playing and the next guy doing the same. It's just a magnificent moment in that movie. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I said to Sarita, I would like to see if we could do Dueling Feet. And she giggled. So I said, Mr. Porkchop, I said, sadly, something went wrong with our camera. Would you mind if you redid that? And so he said, yes. And I said, hey, what do you mean, yes? He said, I don't like to repeat myself. Oh, my God, what a genius talent that is. He doesn't like to repeat himself. And I thought, oh, my God, I don't know if Sarita can do that, because she said all the steps he did were really very simple, but he somehow did magic with his feet, but they were basically simple. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, listen, we would like whatever it is you could do, would you please do something? We got to tape you again for 5 minutes. Yeah. So now he starts to do it again. The crowd is starting to grow, wondering why there is such a delay. And when he's about a third of the way in, I tap Sarita on the shoulder. She doesn't miss a beat. She walks in. Now he stops dancing. And everybody stops applauding, staring at this woman who looks like a movie star. And Sarita points at his feet and she says, please keep going. So he does something, she does it. He does something more elaborate, she does it.
My God,
should have seen the smile on that man's face. They were there for 5 to 10 minutes, and Sarita kept up with them. The crowd was now like 400 or 500, and there were loudest cheers. Oh, my God, what a moment. So when it was over, Sarita rushed over and embraced him, took him by the hand, and took him into the most expensive restaurant in New Orleans. Now, at that time, okay, it's back that day, they were stunned to see this gorgeous woman bringing this slim little black guy in there, and he ate up a storm. Well, that's Sarita's talent. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit.
What a great story. That was wonderful. I was right there.
I do have that on film somewhere in my house, and I'm trying to find it so I can show it to her.
Oh, you've got to find it. Oh, that's a must. Oh, yes.
Sensational. So now, her character. I was booked to be on the Joey Bishop show.
Yeah.
When he was doing a late night show on ABC.
I remember.
And then I got on the stage at first, and the first time I was there, ready to start my stand-up, one of the actresses who was sitting on the couch had some kind of attack and fainted. So Joey came over to me and said, we have to stop, we have to stop. So I said to Joey, I said, you're just this, and now we're live. I said, you know, this is all fake, because you're afraid that the network will replace you with me because I see my initials on the floor, JB. Anyway, he says to me, no, honest to God, she's sick. We'll have you back tomorrow. Can you come back tomorrow? I said, okay, I'll come back tomorrow. So Sarita and I come back tomorrow with a friend of mine named Tom Kelly, who's quite a successful comic in Los Angeles, a very close friend for whom I wrote a lot of jokes. And then Joey comes and tells me, oh, gee, John, you can't go on again unless Hubert Humphrey's speech isn't very long. He's supposed to be a guest, surprise guest. And if he has a short speech, we'll bring you up out of the audience. Of course, you know, Hubert Humphrey could never shut up. So I never got to be on the show. But
unreal. No.
That was when Lyndon Johnson had quit his ambitions to become the next president of the United States, since he had already served a term as president of the United States. And the choice for the Democrats, of course, was handed to Hubert Humphrey. And when Joey Bishop introduced him, he said, ladies and gentlemen, possibly the next president of the United States, the Honorable Hubert Humphrey. And everybody stands except Sarita. Now, Sarita was 6 months pregnant with Christopher at the time. And I said, honey, are you okay? She said, I'm fine. I said, can I help you up? She said, no, I'm fine. I said, well, stand up. She said, no, I don't want to stand up. I'm fine. Just you do what you want to do. So anyway, Hubert, I didn't get to go on until the next day. Hubert Humphrey took up. He was supposed to be there 12 minutes. He was there for 58 minutes, so I never got to be
58.
On. 58 minutes. So now, 10 years later, Tom Kelly is going to move to another town because he's not very successful in Hollywood. He comes by my house to say goodbye and hug Sarita and give me a hug, shake my hand. And we just start talking about the old days. And Christopher's 9 years old at this time, and he's off at school. And Tom says, oh, Mrs. Barber, Sarita, I remember when Humphrey came out and you were pregnant and you never stood. You kept telling your husband that you were okay, but you couldn't have been okay. And look at how fantastic your son is. And she said, I was okay. And so he said, well, why didn't you stand? He said, because I didn't believe what Hubert Humphrey stood for. Now, can you show me one person? You go to a hockey game or a baseball game or a basketball game, and there'll be hundreds and hundreds of people who hate what this country is doing in Israel, in any other country around the world. They just despise what Biden is doing or what Trump might do. And yet when they say rise for the national anthem, they rise because they want to be part of the crowd.
Yeah.
Sarita did not care to be part of the crowd. That's how magical that woman is.
So I hear you. No, that's extraordinary just to hear that. Very few people. I can't even think of anyone I'd know who would have that kind of integrity.
Yeah.
To stand by her values. That's great.
So, as I said, I don't complain. I don't give advice, but I always give thanks. But so I'm giving thanks to you. And often when I get upset, I get poetic. So what I'm talking about, I hope your fans will get it. I saw something today that was absolutely inconceivable. I couldn't believe what I saw. It was unbelievable.
All right. Now you got my total attention, of course, and everyone listening. What
Joe
is it?
Joe Biden went on with Howard Stern, and it was enough to make my stomach turn.
Oh, yeah. Well, that would do it for me, even hearing about that. That's creep city. That's creepy.
I think I sent you an email about the thing that's going on. Right now, the National Hockey League is in the playoffs, and I'm in my element. I just, you know, myself and Bo Swenson and the other Matthew Perry and I started the celebrity hockey team, which is still going strong in Hollywood. So I only bet on sure things. Have never lost a bet when it comes to a presidential election in 30 years. And I have lost hockey bets, even though I'm an expert at it, because it's one of the greatest spectator, unpredictable games in the world. So that. But, and people ask me, well, are you a political expert of some sort? And the answer is absolutely not. I'm a comic. So when the candidates are running, I write jokes and tell jokes about both of them. And the one that gets the biggest laughs is the one that loses. And you may recall, you were one of the first people to see that Trump might win. I was the first one I know of publicly who said he was going to win, even though all the mainstream media, that was CNN, and that was NBC and ABC and CBS and MSNBC, all said that the Wicked Witch of the North was going to win. But when I wrote jokes, it was her. It was, God, I even hate to mention the name, for God's sake.
That's right.
Yeah, she got the biggest laugh. So I predicted on the internet that Donald Trump would win.
What a fascinating barometer, John. Come on, really interesting.
Well, it's very, very simple. Now, I sent you, I think, an email about a week ago about one of the biggest bets that I have made. Do you have that email? Because if you have it, I would like you to read it, because you have a better voice than I do. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
I'm trying to piece it. I have a vague memory of it. I'm going to look for it. I don't know if I have it.
Okay, then. See if I can recall.
By the way, what we need to mention, you mentioned what? Hubert Humphrey prattling on for nearly an hour, the mouth that wouldn't stop. Yeah. And if you asked the average person out there, who did Hubert Humphrey lose to? I don't think many of them would remember.
Oh, they don't remember. Listen, I know a lot of people can't even remember Sinatra, for Christ's sake. I mean, it's gone.
All right. Well, for those of you who don't know, Hubert Horatio Humphrey lost to Richard Milhouse Nixon.
That's right.
FYI.
Okay. So, and I have something about that in a minute. An unbelievable poem about that. An unbelievable poem about Biden, because I believe in mutual hate. Okay, so in any event, this story is
I think I have the email.
Okay, would you read it so that I don't have to read it?
I think I have it. I think I have it.
Okay, please read.
It
go
has
ahead.
To do with gambling. Is that
yes.
it? Mecca?
Yes, no. Please do.
Okay, all right. As you know, I live in Las Vegas, the gambling mecca and Vatican of the world, where you can bet on almost anything. Right now, the most action is betting whether or not Donald Trump will take the stand in his own defense. I only bet on hockey games, which I sometimes lose, and on presidential elections for 30 years that I have never lost. The largest bet I have ever made I made today. It's a slam dunk sure thing. I made it on the fact that regardless of what Trump's lawyers advise him to stay quiet, he will take the stand in his own defense, where he will absolutely bury himself regardless of how inept cross-examination is, because getting Trump to close his mouth is as much a waste of time as telling a hooker to close her legs.
And I assure you, God, you read that really well. Now, here is something. I'm going to hang on. Okay.
I remember that one. That was a good one.
Okay. Yeah, I wrote the following poem in just 5 minutes after the Supreme Court's unbelievable favorable ruling on behalf of Trump yesterday. So are you ready for this?
I'm sitting down. Go to it.
Okay. This might be the most honest, truthful, heartbreaking poem about America ever to be written. 'Tis about a country, a constitution. Oh Christ.
God. Start it over.
Oh, the damn phone.
Hang
on a second.
Yeah, just start it over. Get it back.
Okay, hang on.
No problem.
Hang on a second. I have to get it out of here. Sent spam. Oh, my God. I just can't stand this mechanical stuff.
Technology, I hate it.
Six-year-olds know better than I do.
No, me too. Are you kidding? Yeah, flying fingers, had, little kids. Amazing.
I had it all set up. Okay, here we go. Here we go.
Yeah.
This might be the most honest, truthful, heartbreaking poem about America ever to be written. 'Tis about a country, a constitution, Bill of Rights, with which once I was truly smitten. Born on the 4th of July, 1776, with a loss of blood to water the shaky roots of a newborn democracy, a flame of freedom held high in the Statue of Liberty, the whole world could see, but murdered publicly like Caesar, November 22nd, 1963. Then along came Bobby, another Kennedy, and a giant in Martin Luther King, to kill our hopes and them to the CIA didn't mean a thing. Every candidate the country's owners and corporations gave us were bottom of the barrel choices, and we the people finally lost our voices. The Supreme Court, which we should all abort, has just ruled, like Nixon said, if the president does it, it's not a crime, proving democracy has done its time. In 2024, what we have got, two politicians that are human rot, and the American dream will slowly be plucked away like that flower, the forget-me-not. Biden seeks to regain office to support Netanyahu's war criminal acts. Trump wants to regain office for himself and revenge. These are his outspoken facts. Experts say of real issues, there'll only be a portion. The entire election will be just about abortion. If Trump is elected, that'll be the greatest abortion of all. And that will be the day America took its final fall.
Wow, 5 minutes.
That's a good one.
You know,
when I get in those moods, that absolutely pours out of me. But yeah. I guess there should be a little bit of equal time about that. So I have a little tiny one about Biden, if I could read you that, and then I want to go into, something that you'll get a real, real kick out of. Okay, here we go. Get up here to, okay, Facebook. Where is Facebook? Okay.
It can't be too short when you're talking about Biden.
Yeah. That is funny. Well, it's just a simple little protest poem. Okay. And then I have to tell you about a friend of mine. Let me tell you about a friend of mine first. He's in his 50s.
Yeah.
And he, like I, came to this country from Canada. And when he was like 35, he was a computer whiz, which you can see I am obviously not. I always get lost. And he invented something that another computer company bought for like $35 million. So he has seen the horrible decline in America. And he would often go to Mexico where he has a home. And it's dangerous down there now. He doesn't know what to do. So he researched every single country in the world, including China, Formosa, the islands where Gauguin went to paint, and even Russia, because he was going to move.
And he didn't find a place to go. Where do I move? Where is a safe place?
Honest to God. You know what he did? He couldn't find anything. Do you know what he did?
No.
He bought a boat.
Oh.
Guess what he calls his boat, bless his heart? Molly Brown. Because of the movie, The Unsinkable Molly Brown. So that's what he's doing. He's floating around the world.
He's going all around the world. I was going to ask you.
He and his family are living on a damn boat.
Well, that is a very interesting affirmation of what I've felt for a long time. There really is no safe place to go, to speak of. It's very hard to find.
It's impossible.
He got smart. No. He gave himself real freedom and real security. He takes his own country with him.
That's exactly right. Now, I did write it. It's a little protest poem. Okay, right. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Oh, my, what kind of hopelessly heartbreaking world are we now living in? It seems no matter where I look, from politics to religion, I see nothing but sin. And JFK's pathetic family, besmirching his plans of peace, have become a waste of time by supporting a silent Biden who supports madman Netanyahu's continuous war crime. There you go. So this is
true. Yeah, that's good. You spread it around.
So here's what I thought you would really get a kick out of is there is no place to find freedom of speech anymore. That's quite honest. It's over with.
Censorship everywhere. You got it.
Well, not only the censorship, but Bill Clinton, for God's sake, and Hillary, the wicked witch of the North. But Bill Clinton in 1996 signed the Communications Act in 1996. He put all of the American media, even that owned by the public, into the hands of five major corporations. When John Kennedy was alive, there were 1,500 different owners of media. If you owned a radio station or a newspaper or television, you couldn't own more than five in the entire country. iHeartRadio now owns nearly 2,000 stations. All the programming comes out of either New York or L.A. So if there's a disaster in Duluth, there's no local reporter to report it. Anyway.
No. That number of stations, individually owned stations, over 1,000, that was real diversity. And that kind of diversity made this country strong as hell. That was great stuff back then.
Oh, my God. Listen, we lived through the golden years of America. They didn't last very long.
No, it's
but
true.
We lived through them, and we are absolutely never going to see them again. But any event. Here's what I wrote that a lot of people absolutely love. And so I would like to read it to you, and I think we have time for it. Yeah, we have time for it. So you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. It's called T-shirts, toilets, bumper stickers, and panties.
Okay.
These four places above are the only places left in America where you will find the greatest, wittiest expressions of free speech from clever, repressed people of all sorts. Red Fox, my lifelong show business friend and mentor, said, quote, "If you can read the handwriting on the wall, you're in a toilet."
Oh, Red.
The wonderful cat picture here, and I'm going to tell you about this picture. It's adorable. It's on a T-shirt I saw in a terrific embroidery shop on the Vegas Strip and sent copies to three women whom I knew would wear it and love it, which they do and did. I have one myself. Back in the day when the Friar's roasts were stagged, I was on the dais to do Sinatra. Before I got to him, I knew there were two people Francis hated, Rex Reed and Anita Bryant. Now, I won't tell you my killer Rex Reed joke. It is just too filthy, not fitting the clean-cut guy who created real people. But I said of Anita, quote, When I was on the Dean Martin show last year, I accidentally stumbled into Anita's dressing room and saw her putting on her panties. So they chuckled, which looked like they had writing on or semen on them. Now there's a huge laugh. I apologized profusely and started to back out. And she said, "Oh, no, Johnny, that's okay. Just stay. It's okay." I stayed as she continued. And I could see, as she was putting them back on, that she really was what she claimed she was, a real lady from the South. There was a long pause and expectant chuckles. And then I said, they said, "Whites only."
Oh, no. Oh, Anita Bryant.
The biggest laugh and applause, Jeff, of the night. And when it was over, Francis grabbed me and he said, "Johnny, God damn it, why didn't you give me that joke? That's what I pay you for." And I said, "Because, Francis, you sing better than I do, but I tell jokes better than you do." That was the biggest hug I ever got in my life, Jeff, from anyone.
Wow.
But back to today and panties. I don't see many funny bumper stickers anymore or T-shirts, and I stay out of public toilets. No. But today I saw a handful of hilarious printed panties in my fabulous embroidery shop. A couple I can only tell you about. A few others I will show you and comment on. I asked the unbelievably creative manager if some of them were filthy, and she said, "Absolutely not, John." She said, "You can find those on Amazon or eBay, but not here." Now, since I'm there about once every 2 or 3 months for something really cute only on a T-shirt, I asked her if she could show me a few of what was, and one that made her chuckle the most. Mm-hmm. She laughed out loud easily and said, "That's easy." An 80-year-old charming man wanted a pair of panties for his wife of 60 years. Just one pair that could say it all. "I keep a copy in my drawer." She opened the top right-hand drawer, Jeff, and held it up. And it said, "For peeing only." So I asked her what two were the most interesting. And she said her favorite was the one for a writer that says, quote, "My mind is more fun," unquote. And then added, "The reason I love that, John, is that I remember seeing that somewhere written by a woman, and it said, when a woman's mind and her body will follow." So she said, "I'm impressed by that." Then she showed me another one saying, "To me, I don't understand this at all. Some older man ordered it and left it here, paid for it, and didn't pick it up." I said, "Wow, I love it, because only a few people on the planet know what it means." And she said, "What does it mean?" I said, "Is your grandfather or your great-grandfather alive?" And she said, "No, why?" I said, "That's too complicated. Thanks for the chuckles. Goodbye, see you soon." She said, "Do you want them? I can't sell them. You can have them." I paused and said, "Well, I can't wear them, but I think I will frame them and I will put them on my wall, office wall, Jeff, which I did and which I have," which is what I did and where they are. The reason, Jeff, I do such a silly thing. When I was a kid in Toronto in the 40s, following America's horrible depression, and then moved down here during America's horrible McCarthy era, I heard this cry a million times, quote, "After the revolution." Even in one of my favorite movies, and the best movie ever made about the Russian Revolution, and that's Warren Beatty's Reds, I chuckle when I look at it on my wall and think any guy who bought this for a girl was, oh, God, hang on a second. Jesus Christ, I lost my place again.
I'm still thinking about Anita Bryant, former Miss Oklahoma.
Oh, my God, yes, yes,
1958.
Yes.
She had three songs that were kind of hits, I guess, at some point.
And then also, she was the one that tried to destroy Frank Zappa and those guys that were writing radical lyrics, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That was her.
Quite a Christian warrior.
Oh my God. Indeed she was. Okay, hang on a second. Here it is here. I got to finish.
She was also the spokesperson for the Florida Orange Juice or something like that?
Yes. Oh my God. Yes, she was a spokesperson for Orange Juice. Okay. Oh my God. What did I do here? Jeez. Okay. Here
Anita Bryant.
Yes, Anita Bryant. And I got, okay. Hang on, I got to the bottom of this now. Here we go. I can't wear the McCarthy up to do. Look at them on the mall. Okay. Okay, here I am. Here I am.
Right.
They're on my wall. They will. Okay. Here it says. I look at it on my wall and I think any guy who bought this for a girl was sort of insulting her, because there is no way in this criminally, corporately controlled country there will never, ever be any such thing as a needed revolution. So if he was expecting it to be worn by some woman, he is telling her she's never going to get laid again. I know two very progressive, very, very funny, very smart ladies back east, one in Boston, one in Tennessee, both married with children, who could possibly at some point during Halloween or Christmas or April Fool's wear such panties for fun. And after my fantastic, funny, funny mind of her own niece, Catherine, who claims to have inherited my warped genes. Jeff, she is a very, very successful real estate broker in Colorado, as one of Colorado's best known show horse riders. Now, when she reads this, it would not surprise me when she shows up at South Point next week to greet me and Sarita for dinner, that when she walks in, she says, "Hi, Uncle John, Aunt Sarita," then raises his skirt to show me something that says "Broncos only," with a standing ovation from a room full of cowboys. So there you
know,
go.
You mentioned Red Fox, and a whole bunch of Red Fox jokes start parading before my memory in my head, none of which I can repeat.
Okay, so I'll tell you one. You might, it's kind of naughty, but it's cute. And you don't have Facebook, so you don't see the picture of the T-shirt. But here's a black cat looking at a book, and it says, "Let me check my give a shit meter." And then underneath it says, "No, nothing today." 25 women, not men, 25 women so loved that T-shirt, they sent me a note that said they bought it. Okay, so are we done?
We are for this visit. We've wrapped it up and perfectly done. Perfect timing. You've got your marks. You hit them perfectly. Now what you need to do is go over and give that beautiful lady a big hug and then tell yourself happy birthday from all the people out here who are listening and who care. A lot of them.
Well, Jeff, I cannot, again, thank you enough for what you have done for me to keep my work alive. And, of course, what you did for Sarita. She absolutely, absolutely adores you. And she looks unbelievable.
I believe it. I'm very happy. That's great news. You gave me a birthday present on your birthday. So talk soon. Take care. And I'll be here if you need anything, you know.
Well, thank you again, and I'll see you in a month.
Okay, Johnny. Good night. Take care.
Good night.
All right, the one and only. Talk about living legends. There's no better example than John Barber. All right, gang. It's Friday, and we wrap up another week. Have a good weekend. And remember, there's still time to prepare. I urge you to do it. Talk soon. Take care.